We're going to be in several different places. If you want to turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter, we'll start right there. I don't know how much scripture I read this week as I noted I was coming up here and going to preach, and I told Brother Brent, I said, there's a one thing really hearkening on my heart and my mind, and as I was searching the scriptures out, looking through them, you'll probably never search the scriptures out the way you do unless you got to go somewhere and preach to somebody, or maybe you got to go teach in front of somebody. You'll lay in there, you'll study. I've studied all day today. Uniman didn't get one thing out of me today. Ask Brother Aaron. He drove by and seen me sitting all over the place studying, looking at my little New Testament. But as I got to thinking about this message, and God help me that it comes together in a way that you might feel encouraged, that you might feel edified, lifted up in Christ Jesus. And there's a couple of points that I want to make. And number one is we should continually, I mean, as Christians, we should continually be in thanksgiving. We should continually be in praise. We should continually be humble. I mean, we should continually be resistant of the pride of life. It dwells up in all of us. Every one of us has to fight it. We should always be reminded of what it is. And maybe you don't work with good people. Maybe you work with the awfulest, sorriest bunch ever was of twisted infidels, unbelieving, God-hating. I don't know who you work with. I hope that you're not in that situation, but if that's the situation, then there's a purpose, there's a reason for you being in that situation. Let me tell you something. You might say, well, I ain't that good a Christian. Well, I ain't either. But I can tell you this, the darker it gets, the brighter the light will shine, no matter how little it is. A Bic lighter, have you ever tried to find anything with a Bic lighter? I know all of you just smoke ass. Hit in the middle of the night. Well, I guess nowadays you got your cell phone. I get up every morning and it's dark, and I'll push this button on this cell phone. Now, it's not got a flashlight on it, but I'll go through the house because I don't want to wake Amy up. She ain't got to get up just yet. And I'll go through the house with my little light. It's dark, though, but I don't need much of a light. And I'll go and I'll put my clothes on and get ready, and then I'll cut the light off in there and I'll go back through. But the darker it is, the smaller the light, the brighter it shines. I mean, it really stands out. I know when you fly into Africa, you're flying into the capital city of the country of Kenya, Nairobi there. You flew for hours. I mean, you fly over the United States, you can see these cities. I mean, it's just... And then you, just a little while, you're looking at another city if you're looking down. Well, over there, it ain't that way. You fly, and you fly, and you fly, and you fly. 4 hours, 6 hours, you ain't seen nothing. And then all of a sudden, you'll see some lights. It don't look like no city. And it really stands out. If you're looking at the stars, do you want a place with a bunch of street lights and stuff up? No, you want to get in a place that's dark. So if God's got you in a place, it may not be the most desirable place. That little light of yours will shine brighter. Listen, let me tell you something. You're going to have a bright light for anything to shine in here. I mean, you're really going to have to be a doing good. Brother Brent has a phrase. He said, what are we going to do? Get in here and shine the light in each other's eyes? And that's what happens a lot of times. But anyhow, we want to look here at Ephesians, and I'm going to read this passage of Scripture just as quick as I can, and we're going to try to move through this as fast as we can get through it. But it says, down here it says, We'll start in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from our God, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's given us access to have all spiritual blessings. Listen, this is, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, this is what you are entitled to. This just ain't something that, listen, this is a gift from God. This comes along with salvation. This is one of the benefits. That if you'll live for God, if you'll go for God, if you'll strive to resist the old man and put away the things of the world, you've entitled to spiritual blessings. And it goes so far as to say, in heavenly places. Heavenly places. Listen, I ain't talking about that you got a free Big Mac from McDonald's. I'm talking about that the God of the universe, that He might lift you up in a place. And I'll tell you what, I've been there a time or two myself. I couldn't tell you exactly what took place. All I know, the joy of the Lord was on me so great that, I mean, it didn't make no difference to me whether I left or I stayed. I was ready to go. I mean, when you get in that state with Jesus, you say, well, I ain't never experienced that. Well, quit sinning so much. Resist just a little bit. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm not perfect. I'll be the first one to admit to you that I fall short of the glory of God each and every day. There's none good, no, not one, according to Christ. And I don't care what kind of breeches you're wearing. But it goes on down. And I mean, I think that's such an amazing, just little bit of scripture there. He goes on down and it says, according in verse number 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It says here in verse number 6, to the praise and the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. That's how He's made us acceptable. We've made to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now maybe we know what praise is. You praise your children when they make a good grade. You're proud of them. You've heard people praise God. I mean, sometimes Brother Steve, he'll want to praise God. He'll read Psalms 150. He'll get up here and he'll blow this horn to praise God. Maybe you'll hear Brother Will, he'll stand and he'll say, praise God, praise God. Maybe when we sing Amazing Grace, you'll see them raise their hands in that last chorus. They'll sing, praise God, praise God, praise God. That's something that it's our choice to do. We do it of our own free will. There ain't nobody, when we've been singing that Amazing Grace, is going to walk out in the audience somewhere and say, why wasn't you holding your hands up? Nobody's going to do that. It's up to you. If you want to hold one hand up, if you want to hold two hands up, maybe you don't feel like holding your hands up, and you just want to say, praise God, praise God. It's up to you to praise God. It says that we praise Him. It says, to the praise of the glory. The glory of His grace. I mean, we are to be the praisingest people, the praisingest bunch that the world has ever seen. I mean, how much grace did He give you? Well, I tell you, God's good. He's a good God. And He's worthy. Listen, that's why He saved us. For us to praise Him. For us to recognize His grace and His glory. The glory of His grace. Well, I tell you, we are. How many of you think that you're doing a good job? Well, we all fall short of the glory of God. Do we praise Him like we ought to praise Him? Absolutely we don't. Do we love Him like we ought to love Him? Let's go on down just a little bit. I've got to hurry up. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which he hath purposed in Himself. Now, I'm not going to go any further with these scriptures right here tonight. But it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Any born-again believer, I don't care if you got saved yesterday, you know the mystery of His will. The mystery is this, salvation. Oh, there's many mysterious things about God. There's many ways about God that I still don't understand. But the will of God is for none to perish, but all to come in to repentance. It's a mysterious thing. I cannot still describe to you to this day. I've thought about it time and time again. I've told it hundreds of thousands of times about Jesus saving me and the night that He saved me. But I still don't know exactly how He come in. I didn't see Him come in. I didn't hear Him come in. I didn't even feel Him come in. But the next thing I know, He was in there. That's just how it works. It comes by faith. You know what I believed? I believed that He could save me. I recognized that I needed to be saved. I wanted to be saved. You know why I never even asked Him to save me? I just wanted it. I never even asked Him to save me. I just wanted it. You say, well, I thought you had to do this. You thought wrong. His ways is higher than your ways. His thoughts is higher than your thoughts. You say, well, ain't it good if they come down and ask Jesus into their heart? Absolutely, it is. You say, well, Brother Matt, how do you know you got saved? I had the best peace. You say, have you ever felt that kind of peace again? I have it all the time. Until I get outside of His will, until I start willfully going against the Holy Ghost of God, His peace remains with me. He stays with me. Now if I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and God says no and I say yeah, and He says no and I say yeah, and He says no and I say I'm going to anyhow, that's what you have to do. Maybe you're not in the shape to hear that no more. Maybe the things of the world don't bother you like they used to. Maybe you've got in the condition of Lot, living with a bunch of twisted homosexual infidels. Maybe you've gotten that kind of condition, but the sin don't bother you that bad no more. Well, you're in bad shape. And you better find you somebody that you know and you can put confidence in that knows Jesus Christ, and you better entangle yourself in them and their life. You better start hitting every church service you can come to, singing revival. It don't make no difference what it is until you can hear God like He once did. I talked to a boy the other day, and we was talking, and he said, I've never heard God the way you're describing it. I said, yes, you have. I said, if you've ever been saved. I said, He is the one who told you was lost. And he said, you know what? That's right. We all hear the Lord. But we've got a great opportunity in this life. We can choose to have eternal life. We can choose to be redeemed. We can choose to be forgiven of all of our trespasses and sins. Well, it's a mysterious thing, the hope that a Christian has to a non-believer. It's a mysterious thing. I mean, when you get into your Christianity a little bit, when you start growing in Christ just a little bit, you know what you'll come to the understanding of? I'm never going to die. My eternal life has already begun. It begun the day Jesus Christ come in. It can't do nothing but get better from here. Boy, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Now, sometimes you run across some people, and I'm going to get to the heart, but I've got to read a scripture over here, and if you want to look at it, I suggest that you do, over in 2 Peter, chapter number 2. I just want to look at one verse tonight over in 2 Peter. And a lot of times, me and Brother Brent, we talk. Mine and his wife has said that me and him ought to have got married. Sometimes we'll spend hours talking and fellowshipping on the phone. Sometimes we'll go maybe 2 or 3 days and not even talk to one another. It's even been a week or so. But when God does something, you know what you want to do? You want to share it. You want to tell about it. I mean, you want to tell the good thing that Jesus Christ has done. I mean, it's something that you can't hardly keep to yourself. You want to tell somebody else about it. I mean, maybe it's with you, or maybe it's been with somebody else. Another reason that me and Brent, we talk so much, is we try to be honest with one another. If you've not got this as a Christian, you need one. If you've a man, then you need another man in your life that'll hold you accountable, that'll love you good enough to tell you the truth, that'll say, listen, you're messing up. You need that in your life. You need somebody that you can be honest with, and they'll be honest with you. I don't want you coming and telling me all your terrible, nasty thoughts, and I don't think you should, nobody. But with your accountability partner, you can let them know of where the weak areas in your life is. Maybe it's with gambling. Maybe it's with drinking. Maybe it's with pornography, or whatever it may be. Maybe it's with covetousness. Maybe it's with lust. I don't know what it may be. But every one of you has got something. And you need that in your life. If you've a woman, you find you another woman to be accountable with. The Bible plainly teaches us to be accountable one to another. Today, while me and Brother Brent were sharing, we had a good time in the Lord this morning, and he told me about a woman that he had went to visit. She's an older lady, 90-some years old. And he began to talk to her, and I don't know who he's talking about. I've been up there and worked at her house myself. And she's kind of a grouchy old lady. Hey, man, you know any grouchy old ladies? I do. Are you a grouchy old lady? I don't know. But he got to talking to her, and she was talking about him preaching, asking him how he's doing. He said, pretty good, I guess. I don't know. And they began to conversate a little bit, and he's asked her often and told her about the Lord, and she's one of these that she'll tell you, yeah, I'm saved, yeah. There's a lot of people I've talked to that has told me, yeah, I'm saved. There's been some people saved right in this altar, right here, that has told me that they were saved before they come down here. And as Brother Brent got to talking to her and preaching a little bit to her and got to witnessing to her, she said something. And I told him, I said, Brother Brent, I said, I'm going to use that tonight. She said, while you're talking to me, it's bothering me. What was the exact word she used? You're troubling me. You're troubling me. Now, how is it that a saved person is troubled by talking about salvation? Listen, there's some things that don't add up. Now, there's certain things that people can say that troubles me. They do. When a married man is talking about wanting to go here and there and to the dance clubs and this, that, and that, it troubles me. There's a lot of things that people says that troubles me, but it don't trouble me when people start talking about my Lord and my Savior, my Redeemer, the best friend that I've ever had. Them things don't trouble me. She told him, she said, I've done a lot of good deeds. Said, well, I call on the Lord every Sunday. And I'm assuming, I don't know where she goes, but I'm assuming that she's Episcopalian, because they quote the Apostles' Creed at every service. And he said, well, have you ever called on him as Lord and as Savior? He said, won't you call on him right now? No, I ain't going to do it. Do you know how many times that I have prayed with someone, how many examples I've given, how many times that I've asked Jesus Christ, Lord, if I've missed it in any way, Lord, I want you to save me? Thousands of times. Thousands of times. I've said, God, if there's anything I've missed, God, I don't want to miss it. Lord, I don't want to take no chances. You want me to tell you something? The night the Lord was dealing with me, if my daddy, when I went into his room and I knocked on the door and he opened unto me, kind of like a scripture says, it says, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened. All them things happened to me that very night. And he said, son, what's the matter with you? I said, daddy, I want to be saved. If he'd have told me, said, son, the only way you're going to get into heaven is I'm going to have to go out here on this chop block and I'm going to have to cut your hand off. You know what I'd have said? I'd have said, let's go, daddy. I knowed I was lost. I knowed without any doubt whatsoever I was headed to hell. I was very, very clear. It was clear to me, my condition. But sometimes it's not very clear to people their condition. They do a lot of good things. They're good people. I guess I've been blessed that I ain't been that good a person. I ain't had no trouble thinking that I could get there on my own. I've always known it was going to take something besides me, Brother Steve. But I want to read this verse of Scripture to you. Maybe you've lost tonight. Maybe somebody's watching on the internet radio. Listen, I want you to look at this verse of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 4. He says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them unto chains of outer darkness to be reserved unto judgment, how are you going to escape? As far as I know, the angels committed one sin. Just one. That's all it took. They done one thing. As far as I know, I have broken every commandment of God. I've broke them all 10 of them. Every one of them. Now, I'm not proud of that. Boy, I tell you though, I'm glad I've got a God that offers grace, that offers mercy, that was able to take all my mess ups and cover them with His precious blood of atonement to be a perfect sacrifice. Well, I'm glad that He could change me and mold me and to make me into what He'd have me to be. Well, I'm glad that Jesus come and that He lived and lived a sinless, perfect life and died upon that cruel cross. I'm glad that God, He raised Him back up from the dead again. I'm glad that He made a way of escape for us humans. Now we want to look at some other scripture right quick like tonight. And I want to try to combine these two. As you're flipping back through the Bible, if you'll go to Luke right quick, chapter number 15, we're going to look at this verse of scripture. And this is just a small little bit. This is just part of the thought that God had given me. And I'll tell you when He gave it to me. The other night I was watching. You say, well, I don't know if all this camera DVD stuff, if it's worth it or not. Listen, it's worth it. I'll tell you, it's been a blessing to me. And it's been a blessing to hundreds of thousands of other people out there. Listen, if you get shut in at home, you've got surgery, you have some kind of operation and you can't go nowhere, I guarantee you'll be glad that you've got it out there. But the other night I was watching the service where the man come and showed the film about the crucifixion of Christ. And he just broke loose after that. I'll tell you, I was sitting there watching that thing on a little old portable DVD player. I was crying. Snots were running out. Me and Amy was both crying. And Luke, Darren's boy, come up here. Twice he had said, somebody needs to get saved. You think a young'un's going to go up in front of a crowd full of people like that unless God's pressing on him? He ain't going to do it. You won't even do it. And Brother Darren, he grabbed him up like this. And he began to say, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. He is proud that he is obedient to the hearkening of the Holy Ghost of God. Boy, I got to watching that. Boy, tears went to flowing out my eyes. And immediately, I got to thinking, I don't know what happened after that for the next few minutes. I don't know. But immediately, I got to thinking about the Father in heaven and how he acts towards us. Don't you know that there's a multitude, a host of heaven that's watching on to these things that's taking place down here on earth? Don't you know you've got a God in heaven that's proud of you when you be obedient? Boy, I tell you, it's an important thing for us to mind God. It ain't always easy. But if we get our mind off about, what's his name's looking at me kind of funny. I tell you what, there's some people that they call themselves Christians. And they won't even bow their head in a public cafeteria to say grace over the food that God's allowed them to have. My God, how foolish can we be? Thinking, what'll somebody think of me? What'll somebody say about me? Boy, the devil's got them trapped in the cares of the world. Don't you know that there's a whole host in heaven looking on? He says down here in verse number 10, chapter 15, verse number 10. He says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth. Who do you think that joy, it's in the presence of the angels. It's the host of heaven. It's the saints of God. It's the Father. It's the Son. They're rejoicing over the things that takes place. Now go right quick over to Matthew in chapter number 21. Go just as quick as you can. And we'll try to get, this is the another one of the main scriptures that the Lord had given me tonight. I don't know if it's all tying in or not. If it ain't, you can complain to Darren about it. I don't want to hear it. Amen. Thank God. Anyhow, as we look right here, and I'm just going to kind of catch you up just a little bit. I'm going to just talk to you. I'm going to do like Brother Brent. I ain't even going to use the scripture. I'm just going to preach it like he said Sunday night. But I just want to tell you kind of what's been happening here. Now, Jesus, he's been doing miracles all over the place. There's a multitude of people that has come to believe in him. All the wondrous works that we're all so familiar with, the casting out of the devils, the walking on the water, the feeding of 5,000 and 4,000. The multitude of healings that's took place. Everything has already took place. In his glory, it's a growing. These people are starting to follow. These people are starting to listen. Listen, these people are starting to get on board with Jesus. And he comes into Jerusalem. This is where you'll find his triumphant empty, where he goes over there and takes that man's little donkey. I don't know who he was. But Jesus, he said, you go get that thing. The Lord hath need of it. And they went and got it, brought it back to him, and he rides in. People's appraising him. They've been worshiping him. They were laying palms in front of him. This is right before, though, they all turned on him and was crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus goes in, and you might say, how come Jesus made the church people so mad? Well, for one thing, he is real bad for telling the truth all the time. And the second thing is Jesus was a little rougher than most people wants to imagine. He was. I mean, he wasn't no little sissy. Jesus was a man. And whenever he went into the temple to run them out, now I ain't too big of a feller, but I guarantee you, if I come in here and I started swinging this thing, that you'd leave. I'd say I could probably drive every one of you out of here with this. Especially if I whoop two or three of you in the head. We'll have to fix that here in a minute. We'll just leave it laying for now. But Jesus, he come in and he had drove them out of the temple. He made them mad because he told them what they was. He called them vipers and snakes and told them they was going to hell. It makes a lot of people mad when you tell them that. So anyhow, we want to look, and I want to focus in on one particular part right here. Jesus, he drove them out of the temple. He cleansed the temple here, and he goes on down here, and I'm not exactly sure. I think this might have been the second time that he had drove them out of the temple. You might say, well, I only thought there was one time. Well, I believe it might have been two. You'll have to look into that. But anyhow, he gets up here, in verse number 18 of chapter number 21, it says, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he hungered. Now he had left out and he was coming back. He says, and he saw a fig tree in the way, and he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And saith unto it, who'd he say it to? He said it to the fig tree. He said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now his disciples had seen, tons and tons of miracles. They'd seen Jesus walk on the water. They'd seen him get up and rebuke the sea and the wind and hit cease. I don't know why they were so surprised. Probably the same reason we are so many times when Jesus answers a prayer in our life. But they was dismayed and surprised. Anyhow, and it goes on down there in verse number 23, and it says, and when he was coming to the temple, so where'd he go? Right back into the temple. The same place he had run them out of. It says, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? They've all the time questioned it. I mean, if they'd have had any sense at all, if they wasn't the blind leading the blind, they'd have had sense enough to know he is the Son of God. He told them plain who he was, and they just couldn't see it. Well, we've got a multitude of people in this same predicament today. They wonder by what authority it is that you go out and that you go knocking on somebody's door. What gives you the right to knock on my door and introduce me to a loving God? What gives you the right to introduce me to a way that I can have everlasting life and the free gift of God? What gives you the right? My God. It ain't just a right. It's a commandment. But he goes on down here and he says, and they was trying to trick him here again, just like he always was. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they responded, with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for behold, for all hold John as a prophet. So they done what a lot of religious people does. I see it all the time. They look right, they talk right. They'll never admit that they're wrong about anything. And they'll come up with a great big, they'll say, what are we going to say? And nowadays, unfortunately, they don't tell what they told Jesus here. Nowadays, they'll come up with something, whether it's in the Word of God or not, whether it makes any sense whatsoever or not. I mean, the Mormons has a Bible that will blow your mind. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can read it, and you're just like, this makes no sense whatsoever. Especially if you've been born again and saved. I mean, they tell that God delivered down to Joseph Smith these two golden books, and he wrote it all down, and then they took it back. God don't take nothing back. He don't take salvation back. He never took the Ten Commandments back. He never took the Ark of the Covenant back. He don't take things back. When he gives them for eternity. But they come up here and they said, it says in verse number 27, and they answered Jesus and said, we can't tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Well, now they's gonna. Couldn't you see them? I have to imagine stuff in my mind. Can't you just see how they come? Let me tell you a thing. And you know how they do. I mean, it's one thing. You know, by yourself, you ain't too brave. They ain't none of us too brave by ourselves. That's why me and Brent's going to start this ministry. We're going together. We're taking Brother Chad as our bodyguard. Because when me and him gets together, oh my gosh. You know, we'll prod each other on. I mean, tell you, you can take one old dog, and it has to be a heck of a dog to take on a bear by itself. But you get 20 of them together, and they may all get whooped, but they'll fight that bear. Ain't that right, Brother Aaron? We heard all about it this morning. We bear hunted till 10 o'clock. And can't you just see how they come to Jesus? What authority have you got in here in this temple telling us these things and teaching? And then just that's one little thing. And now they've all carried down. What are we going to say now? Well, Jesus, he could put the hypocrites and the Pharisees, boy, he could, this religious crowd. I wished we had him around for a little while today. He'd straighten us Baptists right slam out. He'd tell us a thing or two. A woman asked me one time, she said, if Jesus was to come back, wouldn't you just like to follow him around? I said, maybe for a little while he'd probably be too tough for me. And he'd probably be too tough for you too. But anyhow, let's keep going on. We've got to get to the end of this thing. He goes on down and he says, but what think ye? Now listen, this religious crowd is right here. They're still there. They ain't left yet. His disciples is there. People's there. He says, what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He gives him a commandment. This man, he gives his son a commandment. He said, and he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. It says here in verse number 30, and he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. That's what we want to hear. That's what we're looking for. I go. All right, I'm going. But then something happened. He went not. He says, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they saith unto him, the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now he is talking to the church crowd. We're the ones that has learned what to say and how to respond. We're the ones that'll lie to each other on a regular basis. You can say, now don't get me wrong, church. I know that tonight I've got the cream of the crop here. I know that. But I'm telling you the truth, and we're all like this. Brother Brent will testify to it. And me and him has both seen it time and time again. You can say, okay, we're going to need some help to do this, that, and the other. And you can ask for hands, and hands will fly up all over the place. Yeah, I'll help. Yeah, I'll do. Then it comes time for the doing. Most people won't show up. Well, I had this to come up, or I had that to come up. This excuse or that excuse. Well, we're real bad to say, yeah, I'll go. And then, well, I couldn't. We've bad to make promises and lies to God. Which we ain't lying to Him. We're just lying to our own self. You know, we'd be far better off just to admit the truth. To be honest. Honest with ourselves. Honest enough to say, I ain't going to do it. No, that ain't for me. I ain't interested in it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I've got other plans. I've got other things in mind. And then let God deal with us and work on us and actually do what it was He wanted us to do to begin with. You say, well, Matt, I don't understand. Well, one time I was a-setting in a Denny's. Me and Amy was over in Asheville, and I like breakfast. I love bacon. I mean, it's just a heavenly food to me. I would eat it at every meal. You can fry up one of them packs you can buy at the grocery store. I can eat the whole thing by myself. Not share a bit of it. And we had stopped there because that's my favorite meal is breakfast. And we had stopped there, and we'd went in, and we'd been, me and her had been, we'd been to the Christian bookstore. I mean, we just had a good time. We'd fellowship. We'd laugh. We'd listen to some Christian music. We'd talked about the Lord. I mean, boy, I tell you what, listen, young man, listen, young lady, you better find you a wife or a husband that likes the same things you like. And if you like Jesus, they better like Him too, or you ain't going to get along too good. And we was just having the best time ever was. And we stopped there at Denny's, and we had ordered, and I was sitting, we slid into one of them booths, and I sat down there, and Amy sat across from me, and not behind her, because the booth turned the other way, the same way I'm sitting here, but the next booth over, that guy was looking straight at me, and I was looking straight at him. And I didn't know who he was. He was an older gentleman. And the Lord began to hearken on my heart that I needed to talk to him. And I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to say? That's reasonable enough, ain't it? He wouldn't tell me. I'm figuring, well, this guy must be lost or something. God, will you tell me something to say? He said, I want you to go over and talk to him. I want you to go over and talk to him. Well, as I'm struggling back and forth with the Holy Ghost of God dealing in my heart, the food had come, and Amy noticed that there's something bad wrong with me. I'm sitting there, and I'm going back and forth with God. I can't go. God, you ain't told me what to say. No, I ain't going to do it. Not saying, sir, I'll go. I was saying, this is crazy, God. If you really want me to go, tell me what to say. He wouldn't tell me. He told me what He wanted me to do. You've got to, listen, you're saved through faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. It says without faith it's impossible to please Him. When you get up on Sunday morning and Darren's still a preaching and you come to the altar or somebody's singing, there ain't an altar call been made. You're coming on faith. You're asking God in faith. Listen, this is a faith-based thing. When we get outside of faith, when we start walking inside, we ain't being pleasing to God. So I sat there and I began to tears had begun to come. I mean, I was struggling. I was scared. You may say, I just don't believe that. You and Brent ain't scared of nothing. You don't talk to anybody. It ain't true. Only with the help of God will I do it. I'm a bigger coward as anybody in here. Well, Amy looked at me and I was sitting there and my lip was a-quivering and my pancakes had come, my bacon was getting cold, and she knowed there's something bad wrong. And I was sitting there and she looked at me and she said, "Honey, what in the world's wrong?" And I said, "God told me to go talk to that feller behind you." And by the time I admitted it, I mean the tears just went to flowing. You know what she said to me? Now, you all see Amy as the sweetest, compassionate woman ever was. This was her response to me. "Well, are you going to do it or not?" That's what she said. And I said, "Well, just give me a minute. Let me pray." And I prayed and I said, "God, I don't want to disturb this man, Lord." And he is eating, brother. He's eating like a wild Indian. And I said, "God, let him be finished where I won't disturb him." And I got up from praying. I said, "Amen." And I jumped up out of my booth and I walked over there. And I'm telling you the God's honest truth. It looked like somebody had cleaned that man's plate. And I looked at him. You say, "Well, what happened?" I looked at him and I said, "Sir, you may not understand this, but God's been a dealing with me and told me to come over here and talk to you." Big tears began to come down out of his eyes. He said, "Well, sit down here a minute and talk to me." He is a preacher. He had been over to VA hospital. He is eat up with Agent Orange. And he's heading back home after his treatments. Starved, slammed to death. Boy, me and him got to telling about how good God was to us. I mean, we got to rejoicing. We got to fellowshiping in that ditties. And we just got louder and louder and louder. Boy, I tell you what, Amy is a crying. Had snot all over that side of the bench. I was a crying. He is a crying. The waitress was a crying. I'm telling you what, somebody, everybody in there on that side of the restaurant got witness to about salvation. He had more than just one person for us to talk to in there. He wasn't going to tell me what to say. He wanted me to go in faith. Listen, maybe you've responded, "I ain't a going, this is crazy, this is too hard." But just listen to God and put your trust in Him. You think back on your salvation and you might change your mind about what you'll do and won't do. You think about how good God's been to you. You think about the faithfulness He showed you. You think about that heavenly host that's watching down on this whole thing. God don't tell you to do nothing in vain. He ain't never told you to do nothing in vain, and He ain't about to start now. He says, Jesus, He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He don't change. He's always been right, and He'll always be right. He is the truth, and there ain't no other way to the Father but by Him. We've lived in a day and time that people think that they can get into the kingdom of God by having their name on a church roll and sitting in a pew somewhere. We've got churches that's failing left and right. Why are they failing, Matt? Because they're full of lost people. They can't make godly choices when more than 60% of your congregation's lost. How do you think they're going to vote? You think they're going to be up for going on faith? Well, we ain't got but $24,000 and this missionary over here is needing $50,000. I believe we ought to give it to him. You think they're going to go for that? But God's bunch will if they were trying to live for God. How do you stand? You see these publicans and these harlots? I mean, this was the worst of society here. These was the people that was the closest to Jesus. You say, "Well, I don't know. I ain't a very good witness." They wasn't either. And they was the ones that Jesus used to turn the world upside down. He says here, it says, "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him." It says that it is the will of God that none perish, but all come unto repentance. Maybe you've thought that you've lived a good enough life to get in. You're wrong. You can't never give enough. You can't never do enough. You can't never sing enough. You can't never pray enough. You're only going to get in one way. It ain't my way. It's not. I had to go that way, but it's not my way. It's Jesus' way. It's by putting your faith, your trust into Him that can save you, Christ Jesus. Not understanding how the whole thing works, but putting your faith and trust into Him that He can do what preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers has said, and song leaders has said He could do for hundreds of years. He's done it thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. He saved millions of people, probably billions. That's how you got to get saved. Now, after you've saved, you may think, good. He's just hitting on them lost people. I'm already saved. I'm safe. After you've already saved, I mean, you remember back what we read over in Ephesians. How you're supposed to praise Him. How you're supposed to honor Him. How you're supposed to let that little light of yours shine. How the, even though, be honest with Him. You know what I have found? Probably 98 to the 99% of everything God is wanting me to do, I don't want to do it. Is anybody else like that? I don't want to do it. It don't suit me. It don't make no sense. This is crazy. It's like this message tonight. I didn't want to preach this. I wanted to preach something different. And He wouldn't let me alone about it. And I said, God, this don't make a lick of sense. And I don't know if it's made any sense or not. I'll have to get a DVD and watch it. You may say, I ain't going. No, God. But He knows if you'll think about His everlasting, ever-enduring love, the price He paid for you, how you're supposed to give Him glory, honor, and praise, how you're supposed to worship and adore Him, He knows that even though you've said no, that you'll go. Or maybe you've been lying to Him, and maybe you've been saying, I'll go. I'll do what God wants me to do. Maybe you've been lying to yourself. And you found yourself saying that, but you ain't been going. You ain't been doing. Your light's been up underneath a bushel somewhere.